Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. These are somewhat familiar verses in a perhaps somewhat unfamiliar book. Let me read from verse number 1. I'd like to read down through verse number 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne and high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood six seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless our time together this evening of looking into your word, of sharing, of seeking to find appropriate means, Lord, for the outlet of the gospel that you have given to us. And I pray, Lord, even tonight, once again, make our service an encouragement one to another. Make our service acceptable in your sight. Grant that our time spent together tonight would be uplifting, edifying, and honoring to Christ. And guide, Lord, in the things that I present tonight and the things that I say. I pray in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I've been wanting to talk to you for some time about the subject of outreach and how we as a church family may be able to be more effective in this vein. And I think it's a natural time to do it, not only in terms of the time of the year and some of the things that we've been working on and planning, but also as a follow-up to our missions conference. I wonder if you'd ponder with me for just a few moments. I was interested as I listened to the messages to see if perchance there was any recurring theme. Was the Lord particularly burdening us? Was he particularly emphasizing a thought in the speakers on subsequent nights? And I don't know if you picked this up or not, but I did, because I thought of the idea of only one life, and let me call to your mind some things that we heard. Monday night, as Matt Conrad was speaking, he had a phrase that he said by way of introduction and then sprinkled through the message so that it would be on our hearts and minds, and that phrase was, you only have one life, how are you spending it? You remember he told the story about the 1933 Double Eagle and how so many of them were loose, and they finally got them all back until there was only one, and then that was auctioned off at a tremendous price, wasn't it, $7 million or something that was? And, of course, the whole idea was to illustrate how precious that one coin was, because there was only one of them. And, again, the statement, you have only one life, how are you spending it? And then on Tuesday night, now that was memorable on Monday night, but Tuesday night Josh Booth got up and started to preach, and he said another recurring phrase that emphasized the same idea. It was, you can give your life away, you can throw your life away, but you can't keep it. Once again, you can give your life away, you can throw your life away, but you can't keep it. And it all kind of kept coming back to this whole idea of only one life. Well, Monday evening, after hearing that message, we chose as a closing song number 373 in our songbook, which is Only One Life to Offer. And I got to doing a little checking on that, because usually when the idea of only one life comes up, we're quick to say the little phrase, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And I got to thinking about that and doing a little research about it, and I found something interesting. I found that C.T. Studd, the cricketer turned missionary, was the one who came up with that phrase, but the circumstances of his coming up with that were rather different, to say the least. He actually said that, according to the story, on his deathbed. He was surrounded by his children. He was sort of apologizing, if you might put it that way, that he didn't have something to give them. And then he kind of thought out loud to the fact that, well, he'd given everything he had to Christ long years ago. And he said those words, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And C.T. Studd lived from 1860 to 1931. And there's an interesting epilogue to the story because in 1937, a woman by the name of Avis Christensen picked up those words. I don't know that that was the year that she heard them for the first time, but Avis Christensen was the wife of a man who was at the time vice president of Moody Bible Institute. And this phrase, "Only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last," just permeated her thoughts and her heart. And she penned that song that we use. It's page 373 in our songbook, "Only one life to offer, Jesus, my Lord and King. Only one tongue to praise Thee and of Thy mercy sing. Only one heart's devotion, Savior, oh may it be, consecrated alone to Thy matchless glory, yielded fully to Thee." And there are two other stanzas. It's a beautiful song. Really expresses those thoughts. So what I would like to do tonight, thinking about that theme of only one life, is to springboard off of that emphasis that we heard about during our missions conference and talk about that in relationship to outreach and how we can do a better job of it in our church. I want to spend just a few moments, I certainly don't want to labor the point, but I want to spend maybe just a few moments talking about our Thursday night visitation program or Thursday visitation program. I think over the years, this has been a mainstay for us. I certainly met that here, and it certainly isn't original with this church. Over the years, many, many churches have had a time that they have selected. One of the things you know going into it, of course, is that you can never come up with a time that suits everyone. Some people work different times and all of this type of thing. But I will have to say, and my purpose is not to labor this point tonight, and certainly not to try to do a thorough analysis, and it certainly isn't an attempt to assign blame. There's probably enough of that to go around everywhere, but for various reasons over the last several years, we really have seen a decline in this program. As far as the morning edition where ladies come out, I would say anywhere from 2 to 4, and that depends on how well they feel and if they have the strength to come that day, and sometimes none. And in the Thursday night edition, which we sort of describe as the all-church time, in other words, the time when not just ladies that may be free during the day can come, but couples can come, men can come, anyone can come, we have somewhere between 2 and 4 men who come, 2 that generally come, about 2 others who come when they're in town, when their work permits them to come, and the only other people who come are the paid staff of the church, and that's the pastoral staff and no one else. So I don't want you to feel like you heard that tonight and you were sort of whiplashed with it or browbeat with it. It's just meant to be an honest statement of the fact that for whatever reason, what we're doing doesn't seem to really be functioning very well for us. We've seen a decline in the program. My thought to this is that, you know, we can't afford to sit idle. If we have something that maybe isn't getting the job done for us, I think there are times to be innovative and there are times to be willing to embrace new ideas and try new things, as long as what we're doing isn't throwing out the baby with the bathwater. But I think of Acts 1:8, and one of the children got that in one of the Bible drill verses tonight. Jesus tells us, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Well, folks, I'm thinking, you know, Huntington is our Jerusalem. So we can't afford to sit idle. And I don't know what you do through the course of a week. I'm just talking to you about the formal opportunity that the church offers. And we've tried various things to get the better of it and to improve on it. But I'd like to introduce to you something that I've been thinking about. And it's probably fair to say that if I've been thinking about it, I've shared some of these ideas and we've tried to kick it around and refine it and see what we could come up with. But I'd like to introduce something that I was thinking about last year, and we just didn't really get around to doing this. And I kind of made up my mind this year that if there's merit to this, then we ought to do it. And so I'd like to introduce something to you tonight that we've decided to call Home Reach. And Home Reach, let me say this. Home Reach is a phrase that we've coined in order to try to introduce an outreach opportunity, an outreach program for the winter months that sort of takes its cue, as it were, from the seasonal changes that are upon us. I don't know about you, but I'm always fascinated with how God builds lessons into the very world around us. And we think about springtime as a time of sowing. Farmers prepare the ground that has been fallow over the course of the winter time, and they get out and they turn that ground over, and of course it's all with a view to the fact that soon you're going to come along and you're going to sow that seed. And the Bible picks right up on that and talks about sowing the seed of God's word, and it's a metaphor for preaching the gospel and witnessing to people. And then of course, you know, you go through the harvest time or through the summertime as the crop matures, and then you get to the fall, and it's so beautiful to observe this here in Pennsylvania. To go through a place like Big Valley and to look at how we're in the harvest time of the year, and corn in particular is there, and it's matured, it's ready to be harvested. And we think about fall as a time of harvest, but very close on the heels of fall is winter. And I know that's the W word, and you don't like to think about that very much, but it's built into God's calendar. And you know, I've shared this with you before. I always sort of enjoy a little smile when it comes to this subject, but you know, we're here in the north, and the northerners complain about the winter. And I guess turnabout is fair play, because I grew up in the south and we complained about the heat. And I guess it's just a reflection of human nature, isn't it? But we always find something to complain about. I, for one, enjoy the seasons, and I, for one, enjoy the winter. I like the fact that the winter forces people to slow down. And I'm certainly not against all the activities, and people talk about how wonderful it is when daylight savings time comes and the days are longer. Yeah, longer for what? The Lord already built it and made it longer for you to accomplish certain things, and now man comes along and makes it longer yet. And in some cases, you can disagree with me. This is not a test of fellowship tonight. But in some cases, I'm not always sure that's to the benefit of our families. I'm not always sure that that's family friendly, that we do that. And of course, now we live in an industrialized society, a society that runs shifts around the clock and all of that kind of thing. And we wear ourselves out and we wear people out. And God builds into just the way the seasons flow a time when, you know, the ground gets a rest and activities slow down and it gets dark earlier and you just can't be out there doing all those things that you might like to do. Now, have you ever had this experience before? This is kind of what the lead up of that was. You don't have to agree with my take on winter. Probably I said that now, it'll snow 10 feet this winter. But anyway, you're out visiting, and maybe you're someone who has been a participant in the Thursday night in particular visitation program, and you're going through the wintertime, and you get to a particular Thursday night and it is really cold outside, the wind is blowing, it might be 20 degrees, and you show up here at the church and you pick up a call and you go with your partner and you go to this door, you're going to visit this person, and you may not have an appointment, it may be unannounced, so you knock on the door and you can't hear them on the inside, but what they're saying in there is, who in the world is that? It seems like midnight. Because at 7:30, it's already been dark 2.5 hours. You know how that feeling is? And so then you get there to the door, and they kind of look at you, you know, and you say, well, hi, I'm Tom Coleman, and this is Joe Blow, and we're from Calvary Baptist Church, and we just thought we'd stop by tonight. And they're kind of looking at you, you know, and $20 worth of heat has already gone out the door while you were talking to them. And if they're not inclined to invite you in, you know, it's kind of like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. It's a little antsy there while you're on the porch. I'm not saying any of this to discredit what we've done in the past and what we will do in the future. I'm saying that sometimes, you know, you're not altogether wrong from reading into that the fact that, well, home, when it's dark and when it's cold, is where people like to be and it's where they tend to be. Anybody disagree with that? I don't think you're going to disagree with that. So, home reach. Why couldn't we spin off of that idea in an attempt to reach people through our homes? Now, before I tell you about home reach, which is for November, December, January, and February, we'll call those the 4 months that we're going to consider as winter. Let me tell you what I would like to ask you to consider, because what we have really done is to sit down and try to develop. Now, when I say we, okay, if you don't like what I say tonight, don't blame the deacons. Because we is myself and Pastor Paul. But, so you can blame him. But, for the month of October, my whole goal in this is, I think my job is to find something to get you involved in outreach. That's my job. I know right now, insofar at least as what we offer here through our Thursday program, you are not. I'm not saying you don't do other things. I'm saying I think I need to help our church and I need to help me be more involved in outreach. Otherwise, what in the world are we here for? And I don't think we're involved in outreach. And people say, well, you know, Thursday doesn't suit me. One of the things that I've always found about that is a good thing to say back is, you know, okay, well, what does suit you? Because I've found that if you don't have a discipline in your life, now I readily confess that some things don't always work, but if you don't have a discipline in your life, if you don't say, well, you know, visitation is Thursday and that's my commitment, I ought to do more, and many times I do more, but if I don't do anything else, I do that. Well, there's something good about that. There's something that's good about the guy that says, well, you know, I don't have an hour in the morning for devotions, but I'm going to be sure I've got 10 minutes, and you always do that. You see what I'm trying to illustrate when I say that to you tonight. So let me talk about November and those subsequent months in just a few moments. We have 2+ weeks left of October. I wonder if I could get you to sign on to something. You don't actually have to sign a paper. All you have to do is go by that table when you leave tonight. And there's going to be a little basket on that table that's on your left as you leave tonight. And in that are 80+ packets of tracts. For this, I've selected this tract. It's called The Roman Road. Now, one of the reasons that I picked this tract is it's easier to give a tract out like this. It's sort of like the Three Crosses tract. I don't know what your approach with that tract is, but I find it easy to give that tract out, and I very seldom have someone refuse to take one. I can't promise you what they do with it once I give it to them. But I really don't have very many people turn me down. And the reason is because, and you have to understand what I'm saying tonight, this is not a criticism of a more conventional piece of literature. But sometimes if you give someone something and right away up front, it's in your face, they tend to freeze up a little bit more. And there's a place for that kind of thing. But other times, particularly, you know, it's the toll booth or it's the guy at the airport that wants to take your money for parking in the parking lot or whatever. And you really want to leave him with this tract. I've had a lot of good success with being able to hold this up and say, I wonder if I could leave this with you before I go. And I'm holding it up there looking at it. And I said, it's the Three Crosses. I said, have you ever been driving down the interstate before and seen the Three Crosses in the farmer's field? And a lot of times people go, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, most people have seen that in some context. I said, well, this tells the story. It's really a neat story. And as it tells the story, it explains the gospel, explains how a person can go to heaven. And I have had good success with that type of an introduction and getting people to take that track. Well, this is sort of plays off the same approach. You know, you give a person a track like this, you say, have you ever heard of the Roman road in the Bible? Maybe a lot of people are going to say no, but it's really neat. You go to the book of Romans, and it's almost like there's a road. There's verses there that explain the way to heaven. Can I leave this with you? And I think sometimes that approach will allow you to get more tracts to people. So if you would like to be involved for the month of October, the balance of the month of October, we're going to run our Thursday visitation like we always have. But I still like to involve more people. And I don't really believe that as a result of my getting up here and just sort of having a little visit with you tonight, more people are necessarily going to come Thursday night. I'd like to involve you in outreach. Okay, so would you go by, if you are willing to do this, would you go by that table after church tonight and pick up one of those packets? It has 10 of these tracts. And your assignment, by God's grace, is just give those 10 tracts out by the time October's over. Would you do that? Just go by tonight, pick up a packet of 10 tracts. You know, you may leave one on a table when you have a meal somewhere, or you may put one in an envelope and mail it to someone. And if you don't get all 10 given out, you say, let's see, somebody's really good with math, and they say, this is the 12th, October has 31 days, that means I've got 19 days to give these out, that means one every other day. Well, it really isn't that hard, but look, if you take the thing in good faith and you get to the end of the month and you've got 2 left, we're not going to check up on you. Okay? The whole goal is to get us doing something. Now, if you take these tracts with the good faith agreement in mind that, yes, I'm going to take these tracts and do, by God's grace, attempt to give these tracts out in the last 19 days of this month, and you start to pray about that, and you ask God to tender you, and you be looking for opportunities, you'd be surprised how many opportunities come along. Brother Kyler, I don't think he'll mind my telling this story, but he had a friend and he was concerned for his friend, and he asked me if I'd go visit him. The man was in the hospital. He wasn't expected to live. And so we went over there. And, you know, I just ran out of here before it was time. I looked for a few good tracks, and I think I may have had three in my pocket. And till we were out of that place, I mean, it just like this guy was in the hall, so we gave him one. And this guy, when we're coming out of the hospital, he's looking at us, you know, but he's looking really at Brother Kyler because he recognized him. And I thought he was looking at, you know, I knew he was looking at him, but I thought, well, maybe this guy doesn't know where he's going. And so I thought maybe he needs directions. So I said something about, do you need help? Well, maybe that wasn't the best way to put it. But I could see then he really did look past me towards him. And he knew him. He recognized him from past work association. So till that was over with, I had an opportunity to give him a track. And I got done with that day. I think I came back and a day or so later, I think I told Brother Jack about this. I said, he was amazing. I said, well, we went to visit this guy, and first thing you know, I'd given out three tracts. And Jack's comment back to me was, well, you know, it's amazing what the Lord will do when you make yourself available. And that's true. If you take these tracts and just say, well, you know, I don't go a lot of places or do a lot of things, that's all right. There's a lot of things you can do, but we need to be involved in outreach. We need to be involved in giving people the gospel. So that's my challenge. If you would go by the table tonight, think about this. What am I going to do now? I heard about these missionaries, and I came and heard their messages, and I saw these people who are going to dedicate their lives to taking the gospel to various places. Now, can I listen to those services and watch those people and be untouched? Is my heart not at least in some sense tendered by the fact that, well, I gave my offering, let them go? Well, you know that's not where it ends, folks. So let me encourage you. Nobody's going to, you know, click them off or sign your name up or whatever when you leave tonight. Just, I hope a lot of people go by. And if we run out, we'll get more of them. But I hope a lot of people go by and get those. So that's what I'd like to encourage you. Now, let me talk about home reach. What I'd like to do is discontinue Thursday visitation for those 4 months, and we'll see how it goes. But what we're doing is we're playing off the seasonal implications that I described a while ago. In lieu of that, here's what I'd like to encourage you and like to ask you to consider being involved in. We're not just saying, well, you know, we're not going to do any outreach because it's winter. No, we're going to say we all need to be more involved in outreach. How can we take advantage of the fact it's cold, it's windy, we find people at home, that's where they are at night? So, here's the program I'd like to suggest. Would you consider for those 4 months, once a month? Now, we'll say Thursday because Thursday's when visitation has been. But obviously, in all honesty, if you could change that to a different time if Thursday night wouldn't suit you. But in lieu of, how much time would you spend if you came to Thursday night visitation? Well, 2 hours maybe. If you multiplied that by 4 times in the week, you'd spend 8 hours. So this is not asking for much of a return. Would you take one Thursday night out of the month? Would you pray about this? And would you have over to your home one neighbor or one coworker for dinner? And what are you going to do? Why are you doing this? Is this friendship evangelism? Well, yes and no. No in the sense if you're just going to say, well, all it is to have somebody over for dinner and we'll talk about politics. No, it certainly is yes, though, in the sense of have them over for dinner so that you can establish a relationship with them. And so that you can get to know them and so that you can have a foundation from which to perhaps have a witness. Now, in my case, I'm going to use my case as the extreme. If I invite a neighbor over for dinner, what are they going to think? He's got an angle. Now, it may not be as bad with you, but given who I am and what my job is, they're going to think he's got an angle. So my thought is this, and you're going to have to pray about this and tailor this to your circumstances, but we would like to encourage you to do as follows. Pray about this person or persons that you're going to have over. And let me clarify, this is not about inviting church people over. Do that on the other Thursdays. It'd be good to do, okay, but that's not what home reach is. Pick a neighbor, pick a coworker, pick someone that you could leave a gospel witness. Have them over for dinner. Do not put yourself under the duress of thinking, the time's running out, they're going to go soon, and I haven't said anything about Jesus yet. If the Lord opens that door for you, go for it. You know, we had a guy over, and about the first or second thing, or actually he had us over, but about the second thing he asked me was, what do Baptists believe? Well, you know, I'm not going to say this wasn't in the script for tonight. I was supposed to spend the whole night getting to know you. So can I come back next Thursday? That'll be the next step. No, if the Lord opens the door, do it. But the idea is to just have them over for hopefully a disarming evening of fellowship in which you spend some time getting to know them and building a little bit of a relationship with them. And then you can adapt this to however it will best work for you. But when they're ready to leave, you have a gift that you want to give them, because you don't want to let this evening go by totally without having some opportunity for the gospel. But see, if I were to do this, you know, in most circumstances, if I were to try to lead into it, would probably they wouldn't come back to my house again because they already think I've got an angle. So we have a table back there, and what's on the table is 68 copies, and I have another whole box, so we're not in any danger of running out. Bob McQuarrie, when he was here, had this book. I don't know how many of you might have picked this up, but I sent and got two cases of it. It's called Countdown, and the subtitle of it is A Time to Choose. So maybe as the folks are leaving that night, you say, listen, it's been a wonderful evening, and we sure appreciate you folks coming over. Listen, before you go, we had a small gift we wanted to give you. You're our neighbor, and this is just something that's been on our hearts. We want you to know about the Lord, and it's just a small gift. And we are burdened for you. We do love you in the Lord, and it's just a small gift. Now, if the thing that you have going, and you come up with whatever words work for you and whatever words work with this particular neighbor, but you have enough time. One advantage of this is you can pick up the copy of this book tonight and you can read it. It'll take you all of about an hour and a half. I'm a really slow reader, and I read it in about an hour and a half or 2 hours. I'm really slow. But I think once you read this, this book has an appeal. It has a wide appeal. Give me an example. I had a guy a couple, 3 weeks ago. I went into a place of business. The man that owns the store, he said, are you the pastor out at that church? And he didn't say that church, but he said, are you the pastor out there? I said, yeah. He said, well, let me ask you, can I ask you a question? He said, I ask every preacher this question. He said, I hope you don't mind. So I said, no, go ahead. And he asked a question that had to do with evolution. He actually asked this question. He said, people that say they believe the Bible and believe in creation and all that, he said, they talk about a young earth. He said, they say the earth is 5,000 or 6,000 years old. And I kind of looked at him a little bit, and he said, well, right? And I said, well, give or take. You know, I wasn't there, but I said, you're in essence right. I mean, we're not into the billions and billions of years. And he said, okay, well, he said, here's my question. He said, I ask everybody this. He said, these stars, he said, you know, these ones that are way far off, he said, you know, the speed of light travels a light year. He said, the light in the amount of time, if you figure out how far this star is away, in the amount of time that you say the earth is old, the light couldn't have gotten here, but you're looking at it. You follow his line of reasoning. And I don't know that much about astronomy, but I said to him, I said, well, not trying to be blunt in my answer to your question, but he said, well, if you don't have an answer, it's okay. I said, no, I have an answer. And I said, it's basically a non-issue. And he kind of looked. And I said, it's a non-issue. I said, if God is powerful enough to create the heavens and all the stars and all the expanse and the firmament, then God is able to make it appear exactly as he wants it to appear. In other words, it is fully operational and functional and meets the appearance that it would have the moment he created it. Adam walked out and saw it. Adam didn't have to wait 4.3 years for the light of Alpha Centauri to get here. He saw it because that's how God made it. It's a non-issue. It's just something that sounds good for people to say that, wow, that just can't be. You can't have a young earth because it takes all this time for the light to get here. Well, if God can make it to start with, he can make it to be here at the moment he makes it so that it has a fully operational appearance. And I don't know how God does everything. I don't worry about it. I trust him. But he said, well, yeah, I had one other person tell me. My point is, if you go to this book, I think you'll find that it has a wide range of appeal. It actually speaks to people that are coming down that lane. It talks about science. It talks about a number of other things. But yet, eventually, what it works through to a clear presentation of the gospel at the end in a way that I think the average person would read it and understand why you wanted to give them this book. Because it's a countdown, he points out. It's a countdown. Everybody's going to die. It's a countdown. So then when we have tried to put together some other things, and I have to wrap this up. I don't want to labor you with this tonight, but this is important. We tried to give some ideas and some structure to this. These months, could you pick a theme that you could capitalize on with your gift? Well, November is particularly a month of harvest, and that's one of the reasons that we kind of wanted to do our track thing at the end of October and then to use the countdown book in November. But it would be very easy to go off of a Thanksgiving theme. When you come to December, what would you use for your gift? Well, December's Christmas, right? And you might decide you want to try to make your play to have these people over relatively early before it gets, early in the month before it gets super busy, but that's up to you to figure out. But certainly a Christmas CD, everybody listens to Christmas music, mostly, or Christmas cookies or something of that nature. There are a lot of ideas. We're going to be talking more about it and trying to provide more suggestions and more ideas. But your gift is they leave, and then we're going to try to provide for you a good track to use that month, so that you've got some gospel presentation in there that builds off that theme. January, we've done something interesting with January. You know, a lot of people don't think about this, and I'm not saying that you would mention this, but you know, January is the month that you have Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. So what we've chosen to do for this January is to suggest the theme to you of Life Experience Month. What kind of experiences have you had that you think you could reach someone by telling the story? Would you have to think for very long to come up with something? Didn't take me very long to think, you know, I fell out of a tree. I'm not standing in line to repeat it, but that's an experience that I had, and I know other people that have had similar experiences, and if I thought long enough, I'm not saying that's the one I'll use, but if I thought long enough about a neighbor or somebody I know that I could share that with, and that would be the kind of the thought that I would take during that month. There's people in this church have lost a loved one. Some people in this church have lost a spouse. Some people in this church have had cancer. There are so many life experiences, and people all around you are going through those same things. And maybe during that particular month, you could zero in on someone like that, because now you might go beyond the confines of your neighborhood. You might even go beyond the confines of your job place. You might know someone like that that you can invite over. And February, well, it has Valentine's in it, and so we want to emphasize that month, the love of God. But the whole idea is to get these folks to come to your home, have, you know, a low-stress evening of fellowship, but you're going to have something for them at the end, which will include the gospel. It may not necessarily be a verbal presentation. It may be the tract or the piece of literature or the book that goes along with your little gift. And you can innovate, you know. I mean, you may have a gift that you think is better than any idea of ours. That's not a problem at all. But that's what we'd like to do. And then we'd like to culminate this in late February with a special Sunday night service. Now, what would we do in this service? Have testimonies. Because, you know, I'll guarantee you, if you decide to take this challenge and you get involved with this, you're going to have something to share. You're going to have something to share. We might not have 10 glowing testimonies of this guy got saved and that guy got saved, but, you know, you're going to have something to say because you got busy, you got to doing something, and you had these people over, you put yourself out, and you had a chance to give them the gospel, and or at least to give a gospel presentation. And God is going to honor that. God's going to use that. I think we could be in a position to hear some tremendous things from people. Now, what are we going to do for some of the traditional things that we've always done? Give me about 2 minutes on this, and I'll conclude tonight. Well, you want traditional calls? We'll have them available. We certainly can't stop visiting people just because we're doing this and just because it's winter. We still have the shut-ins and the widows and people like this to care for. Pastor Paul was quick to point out that in Acts the deacons took care of overseeing the widows. But, we'll ask you fellows to help us with that. But we don't intend to stop visiting people, and we don't intend to stop encouraging you to do that. We'll have things available that you can go back and pick up on a Sunday, and we will be asking the deacons to help us in the watch care, because, folks, I tell you, there are a lot of hurting people, and there are a lot of shut-ins, there are a lot of people. You'll see people in this church this morning. I could name you one right now, and you may even see some as you look around tonight, but I can name you two right now that sit right over there. They were here this morning. They are not here tonight. The reason is they don't drive at night anymore. And you'll have other people that once it gets to be winter, you'll see less of them. Well, we need to care for those people. We don't need to let those people slip through the cracks. And I want to put together something with the deacons whereby we just sort of have some areas of responsibility where we're watching over a certain number of people and we don't notice them here, we check up on them, or if they have a special need, we work through other ministries in the church to be sure that we're on top of that, a phone call or whatever. But this is my presentation to you tonight. And I read the verses in Isaiah simply because, you know, when God was looking for someone, Isaiah, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Folks, I pray that you will take this challenge tonight. Go by after church tonight, pick up your 10 tracts. And then get with your wife or whatever the circumstances, or husband, when you get home, and start thinking about who can we have for November? And how can we pry that door open? That they would come to our home and accept our invitation. And don't put yourself under the stress of gotta witness. Obviously you're praying. Obviously your goal is to get the gospel to them. If nothing else happens that night other than that you build a strong relationship with them, or a stronger one, and on the way out, "Here, I have this gift for you. You are our neighbors. We care for you. This is a little something we found helpful. Would you take it? We just take it. We'd love for you to have this." And you've got the countdown, or if you've got something better, or if you have ideas to give us of tools to use in this. But I hope you'll do this, folks. You do this four times between now and February. And then we'll come together towards the end of February and we'll share how God has used us in trying to... My job is to try to find ways to get us all more involved in outreach. And maybe you have another plan. Give it to me. We'll use it next time if it's a good one. But here's where we are. Would you be so kind? Would you be tender enough to pray about this and to consider this? And you don't have to be an adult to take a packet of tracts. If you're a teen here tonight, or a young person, and you say, "You know, I could hand out some tracts," take one. But let me do encourage parents now. Just sort of watch over, because some of the little children love to load their pockets with things. All right, let's have a word of prayer. And Father, thank you for your goodness and kindness to us. And Lord, we know it's one thing to present something. It's another thing altogether to follow through. So I ask, Lord, that you would be pleased. We're just human beings. We're just grappling with something we know that we don't do as well with as we should, and looking for ways that we might be able to be more effective. This humble effort that we try to put forth tonight that we call home reach, Lord, could you bless that? Would you bless that? Would you give us some great stories and some great testimonies and some great victories through this? And we'll thank you for what you'll do through us and in us. Help us not to limit what we do just to the tracts or to the home reach. Help us to be looking for opportunities for the gospel and to tell people about Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen.